just don't think every couple needs to like do this whole not only monogamy, but like let's live together thing. Like, I think there are lots of people who could date each other and just be happy, like having their own places, not especially if you don't want to have kids. Like, what, you don't need to live together.
So I'm reading that book Attached. Uh-huh. You ever heard of that?
I mean, I'm aware of attachment theory, but I don't know what the book.
It's like the book on it.
And is it, who wrote it?
I don't remember. Okay. It's just called Attached. It's the idea of like the attachment styles and all that. And it's like breaks down like the avoidant versus the
insecure, anxious,
secure and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like there's science that like they talk about like how we're bred socially to be like, oh, well, don't like put so much on your partner. But mentally and like our literal body chemistry is like built that way that like we need somebody. It's wild, dude. Like when you go through like the science of like that, we actually need a person. It's wild. But like I'm not anti anything, but it is nice to wake up with somebody and do like routine stuff. Is like it's my thing is more or less, does your mojo match of like how you wake up, what your lifestyle is? Because I had an ex-girlfriend who would get up every day at 8 o'clock in the morning. It drove her nuts that I don't go to bed till like 3 a.m. every night.
Yeah, you're just not compatible. But there are some people where you might not be compatible for that kind of like daily living, but you might be compatible in like all these other ways so that maybe you go, you know what? I could live with my best friend who has the same kind of basic schedule than I do, but my travel partner could be this woman, you know, the person that I like to like take out to the movies and have sex with and whatever could be this person, but not necessarily my roommate. Like there are lots of different ways to have combination because I don't know what science you're talking about in terms of like you need someone, but we definitely need people. We're social animals and we need community. We need people. We need touch. We need connection. So I just think there's some people who like the couple could do better if they didn't live together because maybe you have everything in common except you have completely different sleep schedules or you're not gonna be able to sleep next to them because he snores and you turn around in your bed and like you, so you're making each other miserable in this one way, but in every other way you really like each other. So it's like you could either have separate bedrooms or you could live apart, but you could still like do as much as you wanted together.
You're like that's my favorite shit about gay people. That is like, just y'all have creative. Like, y'all have like so many like rules and like processes and shit. Like, we just don't have that. It's like, we should live together. Like, cause gay people are like, hey, check it out. So I'm going to tell you up front, here's all my things. Here's what my boundaries are. Like, y'all have like a fucking resume that you hand each other. And that shit is so true.
Like, well, you know, it's just like because you have to think a little bit outside the box when you're gay, it's like it helps you to kind of like take a step back and analyze what we're really doing and why. As opposed to straight people, like the script is handed to you. This is what everyone does. Go do it. And it's like, well, we don't really have a script as much. So we can go, okay, well, maybe I can have one girlfriend for this and one girlfriend for that. Maybe I can have my best friend does these things with and then we'll do these things. Like you don't have to put all of your need eggs in one person basket.
Yeah, like we don't even think like that. Right. Like it's not that like we're anti that. Like for me, like with reading that book Attached is, you know, you think about like who you are as a person. Like me, I'm a secure person. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also of like, you ever taken that Myers-Briggs? Have you taken that?
Yeah.
What is your personality type?
I forget because I think I still like a little bit different whenever I take it. It's like INTJ or ENTJ or something. I still can't tell whether I'm an introvert or extrovert. So, but it's one, I think it's either INTJ or ENTJ depending on when I've taken it, I think.
Yeah, I'm ENFJT. I'm like the rarest.
You add one at the end.
Yeah, it's like something T.
You got an extra letter.
Yeah, I know. It's like on my own LGBTQ
extra chromosome,
plus.
Extra letter. Yeah.
For outgoing people. But I'm that. I'm the rarest personality type for men.
Okay.
And like Obama and Oprah and all them that's our personality type.
So you're secretly gay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes I've got some wild fucking gay bar stories.
There you go.
When I was 20, I'm 42 now. And when I was 21, so that was 2002, and it was still like not cool to go to the gay bar with your homies.
Sure.
So like I had gay friends. We were just like, fuck it, let's go. I don't care.
Yeah.
And so we grew up in punk rock. We didn't give a shit. I was watching John Waters movies when I was like 14. Mm-hmm. And so like, we just didn't care. And one of my friends took me in Chicago. So like, we had Boys Town and all that shit.
Yeah.
And one of my friends took me to one place. I was like 23. I can't remember the name of the bar because I was talking about it yesterday. But I remember watching people drink fucking racehorses. You know what a racehorse is? Chilled shots of piss. We were watching people
drink. Why is it called a racehorse?
I don't know. I don't know.
How did you not ask?
Well, I was 23 and hammered.
That would have been my second or third question.
I'm hammered. Like, well, because by that point, I'd already done a bunch of weird shit. Like, seriously, my friend group in Chicago is wild. It's like goth kids and punk rockers and gay dudes and all just wild, eclectic thing of people. Yeah. And so, like, we'd go to, like, goth clubs and all kinds of shit. And my friend George was like, you know, you want to come to this bar? I can't remember the name of it. We were in there. And then like, I start dancing with like a toothless bartender. Like she was like this hot Asian chick missing her front tooth. And I'm out there dancing with her. And it's like this like dive gay bar. And then he's like, oh, you have to come up to the bar. I was like, why? He's like, you just watch. And like the guy pulls out a thing. He goes, it's called a racehorse. And they're just drinking chilled shots of piss. And I'm so hammered. I'm like, I don't even fucking care.
Did you do it?
No, fuck no. Look, I'm weird, but I'm not drink piss weird.
I have a number of questions. One, were they selling it or was it free? Did you bring it or did they provide it?
They pulled it out of the well.
The Jaeger fridge, but for pee or something. You know, like they have a special.
This was like, I remember it being in like there's like the yellow bottles that they'll use behind the bar for like juices and stuff.
Yeah.
It was in that. And dude did like three of them and the guys were like, and I was like, wow. So George was like, that was pee. I'm like, holy fuck. Like,
it's good that it's chilled. But that, like, is a big roadblock for a lot of people with drinking pee because you don't want that warm, you know, there's too much flavor. No. When you chill something, there's less flavor. It's like how, you know, with a nice beer, you're supposed to have it like not be that cold so you can really taste it. But like a light beer, you want it to be 42 degrees. So I think with pee, you definitely the colder, the better. You want the molecules to really be standing still and not jiggling around too much. And the stiller they are, the less flavor of the pee. Okay, but you know what? Maybe gay bars should be shut down. That's against... if that's what the police were upset about back then. No, okay, but... This is funny because I follow a hashtag on Instagram called urine therapy. Are you aware that like there's people who believe that like the secret to health, and I became aware of it during COVID because they said it could cure COVID and everything. But like the secret to health is drinking your own pee. They said our ancestors used to always do it, that like there's all these distilled nutrients in there and we're just wasting them because our body is like purifying down stuff into like this concentrate. And when we pee, like, you like it, just like they say it can cure everything. These people doing it, I think it's called shavatsu. Like, yeah, when you do it, but it, yeah, I think they're drinking warm pee too. So at least the gays were drinking cold pee, but a racehorse.
That's what they called it. I can't.
Because I guess horses pee a lot.
I guess. So. I mean, I can Google. That bar is still open. I can Google it and tell you what the name of the bar is.
I bet you get a little bit high off of it. And so then people get like kind of addicted to that high.
I mean, you got to be a certain person. Like there's some weird sexual lines and like weird cultural lines that we all cross that you're like, yeah, whatever. You know, sprinkle a little zhuzh in there of weirdness.
Whose pee was it?
That's what I'm saying. It's not like you even know whose piss it was. Is there a community piss? Oh, it's come from Joe. Joe's a good guy. He drinks a lot of water. And you're like, what the fuck?
Right. Yeah. Do the pee people want you to be kind of like well hydrated or like really dehydrated and eating a lot of like spicy food? Or, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's like, is it the same thing as like coming where you eat the pineapple and all? You heard all that shit,
right?
Yeah.
Did they give people a salt rim and a lime?
No, dude. They was just
straight up.
Just straight piss.
Yeah, because I think for some, you know, like getting peed on, you could be into that degradation, you know, but like the idea of just like drinking someone's, I guess, you know what? Men have all kinds of paraphilias, and I'm sure it just turns some men on to be like, I'm drinking a stranger's piss. I mean, there are men who order women's farts in a jar off the internet and stuff. So like, okay.
You but know, yeah. Hey, I'm not here to judge how you come. I don't care.
I will judge. It's not even coming. Is he jerking off while he's drinking the pee?
I don't know, man. I guess it gives him a sense of virileness. It's like, you know, gay dudes are savages. So they're just probably like fucking knock it back and like, let's go rope it out. That's why there's no doors in gay dude bathrooms.
Yeah.
It's like if there is a door, it's like waist high. So you can just kind of shit and just keep it low. But if you go in, I mean, you know.
I would know. I was really annoyed. I was at a gay bar the other day here in town, and they have three different restrooms, and they all say any gender welcome. And I walk into one of them. There's two urinals and one toilet with not only no door, but no toilet lid. So you just have to, like, hover over. I'm like, well, let's not call this an all gender, all whatever, you know.
But I ain't,
just say this is a dude's restroom, please, so that I don't walk in here.
That's what I'm saying.
So I waited for a guy who was in there because I opened the door because there's no lock on it. And I assume that whatever. And it's just like, there's just, oh, that was a different one. So I go to another one that says gender neutral. There's no lock on it. So I open, there's a guy peeing, and I go, can we please just have one restroom where women could be? And in fact, that one said women. That was the one that said women. And instead, there's no lock and there's a guy standing there peeing. And I'm like, this is the women's restroom?
Bro, I'm all online for fucking dudes and chicks having their own bathrooms. Not for like any kind of weird political reasons.
Or we can have a third space in certain situations where we need, like, so it is gender, or like, anything where it's just one toilet. Like, it can just be gender neutral and anyone can go in there. You have privacy, you know. But yeah, or a lot of things could be, it's like we just have one space that's just for women and then one that's open. Like, that's fine.
There's a lot of chicks who just want to pee in private. You know, yeah. It's like dudes are creeps. I don't care if you're fucking gay or not, man. Mm-hmm. Men are intrinsic creeps. Like, why do we have to pretend that we're not?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Just everyone's like, well, it should be inclusive. Like, look, dudes take gross fucking nasty shits.
Yeah.
Do you want to be sitting next to some guy?
Women, but.
Yeah, but I mean, like, let's just...
Could be a little bit smaller than yours, for sure. But.
Yeah, but some fucking dude who just, like, was bombing fucking Red Bulls and a line of blow right. and just fucking blowing it up after some right. Mexican food.
Not worrying about it at all, yeah.
Not giving
well, it's
a
like
fuck.
Even in terms of, like, trans women, like... If they will still want like a space where they don't have to be next to a bunch of dudes who are shitting and you know, like not closing the door and whatever, like there's a lot of ways to be inclusive, but just like have some accommodation for either women or just like people who don't want to be gross.
Most people are gross.
Yeah, but especially men.
Yeah, dude, we're disgusting. That's what I'm saying.
You don't have to be, though. You could just like, y'all could just not be so disgusting.
No, that's just who we are.
I don't know. Some of that is cultural, you know, stuff. That's
look,
just,
I'm a very neat person.
Yeah.
I'm a very neat person. I'm a very like considerate person who like, I don't even like if I'm shitting and like a bunch of people walk in, I'll straight up like hide my feet.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not a dookie around people kind of guy. Like, I'm yeah. very conscientious of the people around me, but just that reptilian shit in our brain is real. Like, we are a fucking animal. Like, I say that one of my friends trans, well,
technically we're all animals.
Yes. A couple of my friends transitioned, you know, doing the trans thing, and they were like taking the testosterone. And one of them, who's the editor in my book, was like, dude, I feel like a fucking psych, like a
beast,
werewolf
monster.
I'm like,
yeah
dude, welcome.
You're
to
going through male puberty right now.
Welcome yeah. to how our it's not even male puberty, that's just who we are.
Well, no, I mean, but when you start taking the hormones, like, you have to go through puberty all of a
yeah.
sudden at whatever age you're doing that. And then like but because men do calm down a little bit as they get older. Well, your testosterone starts dropping off a little bit as you get older and stuff.
I'm 42 and I'm still a raging psychopath.
Right. But there are some men, whether it's in their 40s or 50s or 60s, who then start like either taking testosterone or just, you know, accepting their, you know, it does lower a little bit. Like, everybody kind of transitions a little bit as they get older. Women become a little bit more like men. Men become a little bit more like women. And then they try to get us all to take HRT to stay. But yeah, I mean, I'm just saying there's always a line between, in some ways, there are definitely sex differences, but there's also how we're raised. And so, like, I do think we can raise men to be a little bit less gross, a little bit more considerate. Just look at the toilet after you're done with it and wipe up whatever's.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure.
Stuff like that. There's just common courtesy where you don't have to lean in so hard to your animalistic nature.
I think that people that don't do that are fucking nasty.
Right. It's disgusting. I mean, men and women. There are women who, like, don't look behind them and realize that, you know, they were squatting and they just got pee on the seat, or they don't care.
I worked on Bourbon Street for 5 years. You've seen my book. I have yeah. worked on it. Believe me, the women's bathrooms were 100 times more gross than dudes' bathrooms.
People always say that, but I'm like, I have been in a lot of men's and women's restrooms. Most of the time, men's are way more disgusting than women's. Now, maybe there's some shit going on where in the drunkest, druggiest, lowest kind of places, like, women are flinging their blood around too. But for the most part, men's restrooms are way grosser. And if you go to like people's apartments and it's dudes who live there, they've never cleaned the toilet. There's shit stains all through it. Their little beard hairs are all over the sink, whatever. Women's, the worst you're going to get is that there's way too many products on the counter. But like, you know, it may be a little dirty, but it's not nearly the kind of like, oh, what is that smell? Kind
of like,
I've been
into some nasty chicks at bathrooms.
Right. But still, on average, women are still cleaner than men.
I I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying is I like for the data of being like a single man at times where you're like, oof. Like I went to this one chick's house once and we went out like we were on a date and she was like, hey, can I stop at that? Like we were out, we had dinner and I was still living in New Orleans at the time. And she was like, can I stop at the crib and get a sweater? It was chilly because New Orleans has like such humidity that like when it gets cold, it gets fucking cold.
Yeah.
And we stopped by there and she had like walk in and just the door hit me and I was like, oh God, she had six cats.
Oh, that's a different thing. Because the cat people just like they become inured to the smell and they don't realize how bad it is. And so like, yeah, that's a different issue.
And her couch was like blown it's out with those like stains and shit. And like I walked in, I was like, nope.
Well, you know what? This whole country, we all need to be raised a little bit better, men and women. That's no good. Well, Robert, can you introduce yourself to the audience?
I just took a shot. Sorry.
Perfect timing.
Hi, kids. I'm Robert Dean, journalist, writer. Well, a writer is a journalist. Enlightened dumbass coming to you live from here from Austin, Texas.
Hell yeah. And what is the controversial opinion you've come here to confess?
Oh, God. I have a whole bunch of them.
Let's start with one.
What is it? Do we want to go political, social?
Everything is political. Everything is social. What's your favorite? What's the most controversial opinion you have?
I think Trump's going to win again.
Interesting. Okay. If it's...
Well, I should say this. I think if he beats a RICO case, which is fucking wild, that he's like... He's just like the Teflon Don, literally. Mm-hmm. Like, shit just falls off him. But if he beats a RICO case, that's fucking wild. Because you can't just like... throw a RICO case out there. I don't know how many crime movies you've seen or like that kind of shit.
Probably not
like,
that many.
You can't, a RICO case is something that they construct against you that is like, that is the hardest shit to fucking not to get out
what
of.
What is a RICO case?
A RICO case is, I don't remember like what it all stands for, but like from the highest levels, like that's something you put a mafia guy in.
Okay.
Or a drug dealer.
Racketeer
influenced and
corrupt organization.
Oh, RICO, like a...
Yeah, RICO cases are for, like, drug dealers and mob guys. Okay. Like, it's, like, a structural corruption that, like, if you've ever seen, like, basically the best way I can explain it, you've ever seen Godfather 2?
No.
So, there's, like, a scene in Godfather 2 where they have this huge chart, and they're like, Michael Corleone's up here, and these are all the people under him.
Yeah.
Like a mob.
Yeah.
Like, an organization. If you're getting one of them, that was not something that they just were like, fuck it, I hate that guy. Yeah. That was something that was put together.
Yeah.
That is like a lot of data, a lot of shit. That is multiple agencies working together.
But you think he's going to beat it and then...
If he beats that, he's going to win. But I also think if a strong Republican came out... DeSantis is an asshole.
Yeah, I've lost interest in him a long time ago.
He's a total asshole. Like, you can just see how much of a cunt he is.
Yeah, he's a douche. And he's just, it's like people say, the people who like the Trump kind of vibe still prefer Trump to him.
Yeah.
So there are other more interesting Republican candidates if you want to do something different than Trump.
That Indian dude seems interesting.
Vivek Ramaswamy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
So he seems interesting, but I think that I have said this and people get mad at me about it, but I'm like, we're in a really weird, precarious place with like the way that the country operates right now.
Absolutely.
Because the reason why I think is Biden's basically a fucking skeleton in sunglasses.
Right.
Like no one thinks he's a good president. He was literally elected to just not be Trump.
Right.
And at this point, you're like, dude, inflation sucks. We're all broke. Everyone's miserable. The world's on fucking fire. There's a million.
And, you know, and we can see that he has been an influence peddler and, you know, corruptly taking bribes forever. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I can't stand. So, but I don't even think it's controversial if you're just putting your money. Like, it would be controversial maybe to say you hope Trump wins. But like, unfortunately, it seems like we may well be heading into, which I remember joking about that this might happen 4 years ago, and here we are, that we might be heading into a Trump-Biden rematch. And if that rematch happens like that, I would probably rather put my money on Trump winning than on Biden winning. I don't think there's a lot of appetite for another, let's just hold up this Weekend at Bernie's establishment shill. I think I think that everyone's over Biden and doesn't want that. But at the same time, I mean, because a lot of people do hate Trump, but the people who like generally don't like Trump are not as passionate as the people who love Trump. So, yeah, I think if it comes down to that, I would really like to encourage everyone to not be so cynical about like their powerlessness, because particularly like even if you don't vote in the general election, vote in the primaries. Some states you can vote in both primaries, but like only 23% of the population even votes in primaries. So your vote goes a lot further. And I think we just need to stop letting the narrative be, oh, it's you can't ever go third party or go outside of the establishment. It's like, you know what? Increasingly we can. Getting candidates on Rogan's podcast, on various, you know, podcasts like that, like on TikTok.
Like I don't even think that matters anymore. Like with Rogan's podcast, because Bernie was on there and he still fucking was pushed out.
Well, right. But again, partly it's because we keep, it's kind of like with Succession. Did you ever watch Succession?
Mm-mm. I know of it, but
Well, for people who have, like, these things keep happening where the kids, this Robert Murdoch kind of character's kids keep kind of trying, like almost doing a coup against their dad and like getting people on board. And at some various points, they get all these people on the, you know, his company's board to like say that they're going to vote against him and all this. But he always kind of intimidates them, people at the last minute, and gets people over to his side so that all the coups always fall apart. And so, but it's all just because of him and him convincing people and him being so like, you know, just like such a strong authoritarian figure. And so it's like, because the establishment just keeps telling us you'll never be able to get a third party, you'll never be able to get a candidate you actually want. You like, you're powerless. Like people believe that. And the fact of the matter is like, they do cheat in certain ways, but I don't think that they fully are cheating, because they trust that they can manipulate things
for sure
enough that they don't have to go full blown, like just changing the numbers. Like, for instance, you know, like the Trump election, like I don't think it was stolen in terms of, yeah, maybe some dead people voted and whatever, but people threw out some ballots. Like, I don't put it past people to necessarily have done some amount of that. But I think it was stolen in the sense that they purposely hid the Biden laptop case and didn't let people, you know, see that, you know, they wouldn't let people share Hunter's laptop and and everything that was going on with the influence peddling there. That I think that would have really hurt Biden's campaign. So like they do have things like that, but the more that we're able to be outside of the corporate media's and the social media's, you know, also, you know, stranglehold on our information, because we have Twitter, because we have podcasts, because we have talking to each other, like we could have more control than we let them make us believe.
I'm a socialist, so I do my work that my favorite hobby is converting Republicans to socialism. It's actually the best job ever. Uh-huh. Because after like 30 minutes of it, they're like, fuck yeah, man, that's a really good idea. I was like, I know.
Well, why don't you convert me to socialism then?
Well, for me, it's like, which way do you lean? Are you like center left, center right, full left, full right? Like, where is your thing?
I don't really see myself that way. And that's part of why this podcast is called Politically Non-Binary. Like, I listen to all kinds of stuff and I read all kinds of stuff. And I'm not like for any individual topic, I'm really open.
That's a good way to be, for sure. The way for I look at it is this way: my money, my vote, the way that my point of view is I'm always with the working class.
Sure.
Do you fix the roads? Do you fill the ice? Do you fix this door? Did you put on the crown molding to this ceiling?
Right.
The people who do the jobs, put in the work. My money is with you. My faith is with you.
Yeah.
For me, it is always the union workers, always the people that are doing the jobs.
Right.
Where does that person stand in the conversation of what we're doing?
Right.
So for me, I'll always back that horse. Like when we put money in the fucking an endless war in Ukraine that we is a proxy war just to benefit our own shit. You could have fixed America. When Biden wanted to do the bridges, roads and tunnels, the infrastructure plan, they gutted the shit out of it. And right. Republicans did that for the sake of wanting him to not get a win. So they gutted the shit out of him. Joe Manchin's a fucking ghoul, just like Mitch McConnell is. They're all pieces of shit.
Right.
Like pushing their own self-interest. For me, why is the working class not consistently in the conversation? So when I say socialism, it is 100%. Let's start there. Who is making the products? Why is that worker not getting a fair wage? Right. Why is the person on top consistently getting more money than them, getting more benefits than them? Why are we fucking over this entire class of people consistently? Then on top of that, why is it like we'll give Ukraine all these fucking bombs and shit when you could have been putting that shit into schools? Like when people, I'm from the south side of Chicago. You know how much people like ask me about like, is it a war zone? Before I moved here 10 years ago, I lived in New Orleans. I lived in the two most dangerous cities in America.
Yeah.
And saw, I've been through shootings. I've seen somebody get murdered.
Yeah.
And shit. I've been through that stuff. I know what the sound of gunshots sounds like.
Yeah.
Not like in this like, oh, cool. Like, I know what it is because I like rap music kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen people get fucking murdered.
Yeah.
Why are we not investing back into fucking schools and infrastructure socially where we are? Like, I have no problem putting my money. I don't want them to tax the shit out of me. Because I don't want that going to endless wars. I want that to feed kids. I want that to go to neighborhoods. I want that to be in parks. Right. I want roads to be fixed.
Which is, that's the problem. It's like, it doesn't matter, Democrats, Republicans, no one is fixing the roads. And like, they have a better system for laundering money through war than they do through building roads. That's the thing. It's like, fucking overcharge us, but to fix the roads. You still take all the money, but do with it fixing the roads.
But they still do overcharge. Have you ever been on a construction crew?
Well, no, of course they are. But I'm just saying, like, just like do it that way. So you can still take all of our money, but do it fixing our country, not so much sending weapons. And I don't know. I mean, I hear some intelligent people seem to feel that we really need to keep Putin in check.
But do we? But
I don't know. I don't understand that kind of stuff. I would love to have someone on the podcast who can really help me understand.
I got a guy. Yeah. I got a guy that if I can get him out here, I got a guy who
will
break. There's a dude called, straight up, his name's Jody Ray, Exit Strategy Podcast. That dude knows his shit. He writes for Jacobin. He writes for Current Affairs. Fucking, that is the mind. If you want all that, want to go into fucking deep waters, that's the guy.
Yeah, because I listen to people from both sides of the Ukraine thing, and I just don't know what to think. But I definitely think it's more complicated than some of these people who are just putting a Ukraine flag in their yard. I'm like, do you know anything about this though? Like,
you know that they have literal Nazis fighting for them.
I mean, and or just like, is this really the best thing that our country could be doing with our resources? Like, we're always at war. Like, you know, is it time for us to maybe change things? But then some people think, no, like if America is not like out there being the world enforcer of things, then everything's going to fall apart and like really bad guys are going to take over. I don't know.
I don't buy that at all.
Right. But I do know either way, our government is corrupt and they don't do much with the money that they give them. That's for us. It's mostly they seem to be lining their pockets and wasting a lot of money so that they can pretend that they are getting things done. And yeah, so it definitely, things need to work better, but it's like, if to me, it would seem like we would want to be more like one of the Northern European countries where people aren't trying to be billionaires. They're just, you know, there is still, income inequality to some extent, but the poorest people aren't that poor. The richest people aren't that rich, because it feels shitty actually to be a rich person and see all these people being poor. You have to dehumanize them in order to be okay with it. You have to do drugs in order to sleep at night. And then you acclimate to nicer and nicer things. So you're not even satisfied anymore by the nicest foods and the nicest orgies and whatever. Like, I think
nice orgy.
Yeah.
That's what we should call this podcast.
I love a working class
nice orgy with working class orgy with Robert Dean.
So I definitely would rather it be that we have robust education, healthcare, social, you know, safety nets, better roads, high speed rail. Like, definitely I want that. I don't know if like socialism is exactly the right way to go or what we should call it.
I don't think capitalism and Democrats and Republicans do not want that. That's the thing is, you know, like, there is money to be made at keeping people homeless. There's money to be made in those things. Once you find solutions to those problems, they're not going to go away. Like, I've seen and experienced through friends of mine that are like work that have the, all my friends back in Chicago are basically all like day laborers and stuff.
Yeah.
And like when they get government contracts, and like in my own experience, when I used to work for someone on a landscaping crew, I was a part of, not like doing the actual landscaping, but I was when I was in journalism school, driving plants and all kinds of shit. When they get government contracts, there's so much wasted money and all that stuff. It's bananas.
Right.
I just don't see that system with those two parties ever changing.
Right.
And that point of view is increasingly becoming less and less for the average person. Because like, did you see that, like that song that Oliver Anthony, dude, did you see that the Rich Men of Richmond?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, that shit blew up, like blew up crazy. And right. now it's becoming a political discussion. Is this guy right or left? And he's like, I don't trust either party. Right. But
that's not the point. It's not trying to make it into this. But yeah.
But you can still see that he leans right if you listen to the lyrics.
Sure, of course. It's also like a country song.
Yeah, but I'm country as fuck. Like country music's my, I have a fucking Hank Williams tattoo.
I'm just saying most people, unless like are still going to just associate country with Republican anyway. So
sort of it's like this growing narrative of like, I'm very passionate about country music. It's like, I'm a very, very deep into that world. And there are many artists now. It's this weird thing. Cause like, you ever heard of Tyler Childers?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tyler Childers was like full on like ally, like let people live, do anything. And like in his comments, they're like, yeah, cause you're all BLM and love the gays and all that other shit. And he just doesn't even respond to any of that. And then you have Jason Aldean is all try that in a small town. Is like, I'm working on the piece right now. Is it's literally you have like Americana, which is over here, which is like Jason Isbell and, you know, Sturgill Simpson and Zach Bryan and all that. And then you have your CMT, good old boy bullshit, which sounds like fucking light trap with dude in a cowboy hat rapping over, which isn't even country music anymore.
Right.
The irony of it is it sounds shitty, close to the worst hip hop, but yet you're catering to rural white people.
Right.
While the most authentic stuff is trying to be progressive in the way that Woody Guthrie would be.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. Country music it's not like it's like, oh, there's just a bunch of white supremacists who love country music, you know, not at all. And I mean, look at Willie Nelson, whatever. But like also Kacey Musgraves or one of the, you know, these people like all coming out with these kind of like, hey, we're cool
Maren
with
Morris.
Gay, like all this. Yeah. So even like really popular stuff.
Orville Peck. Do you know Orville Peck?
That name is familiar.
Yeah. Orville Peck is gay as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Orville Peck is basically, who's the dude who's like the R&B singer, the guy that like did the tell me what you want, like the
you mean the gay black guy?
Yeah,
who did the devil thing?
Yeah, that dude.
What the hell?
The fucking
name? Little Nas X.
Little Nas X. That guy. Orville Peck is basically the country version. It's super horny. He wears like a cowboy hat and this weird fringy mask.
Right,
and it's like super desperado, like horny country, and he's gay as fuck. And
yeah, I think at the same time that this country has gotten really politically polarized, in many ways, people have become much more politically non-binary at the same time. And it's like, so yeah, you have all this stuff going on with country. You have Republicans sometimes really embracing immigrants now, because you know who agrees with them on how many genders there are?
Immigrants.
You know who agrees with them on whether there's God or not, that we should all immigrants. And so, you know, and a lot of immigrants, you know who agrees with Republicans about borders? Immigrants.
Yeah.
People who came here legally or are here now, whatever. And I'm not, you know, there's a whole moral philosophical debate about borders and what's the right thing and whatever. And we don't have to get into that right now. But I'm just saying, like, things are not as cut and dry as they certainly used to be for a minute, or even that, or people fantasize that they were. And I think everybody's kind of reshaping stuff now. And I think it's just, we need to get over the idea of red people, blue people, and like Republican Democrat teams, and realize like there's all kinds of stuff we either do or don't have in common with people that are not based on that kind of binary line. And it's really time to like not be divided anymore by that, because it's like, yeah, you don't know what this Republican's values are. Like you, this guy who's it's as simple as like you, I would hear, you know, kind of city liberals just be so anti-gun. And then I'm like, well, yeah, because if you're on the subway, you don't really want a bunch of people to have guns. But if you're out in the country and there's no police that you can get for, you know, an hour out to your place, and there's either a man or a coyote coming to attack, you know, you're going to need a gun. And you're just like not even thinking about what those people's lives are like. Or during COVID, well, those country people already socially distance in the sense that they live 10 miles away from each other, and they get together every now and then for an outdoor barbecue without masks. You know, like it's a different reality. So like you're judging people by your reality, that's not theirs.
I agree with you with that. Mm-hmm. Like my favorite shit though is like try that in a small town. Like most people in a small town will tell you that their small town sucks.
Yeah.
Like that's my favorite thing about that. Like, look, I'm a city boy through and through. I grew up in Chicago. I lived in New Orleans and I've been here for 10 years. So my trajectory is Chicago, New Orleans, Austin. I'm a city person, but my grandfather. So for the record, before people were like, well, you don't know shit about the country. Grandfather's from Bradford, Arkansas. Plenty of country family. Cousins all live in Maryville, Tennessee. I have people all over the state, Arkansas, Louisiana, Tennessee. I got the country thing on lock. What I love is though, they're like, yeah, they try that in the city. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, because it's all crime and gay people and shit. I'm like, which one is it? Because if mm-hmm. you can't have a bunch of savages and weirdos, and then it can't be this lawless place because everything that you like comes from there. But also, there is nothing to fucking do where you live.
Right. There would be like, you could make a number of, parody songs. Try that in a small town, like where you're just making fun of, what all they don't have access to.
But try what?
Try to find ketamine in a small town, but.
Try getting a fucking burrito at 2 a.m.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Try to get a burrito at 10 o'clock at night.
Exactly. But then you could also just think like a Weird Al version of it, where it's like, try that in a small town, but the whole thing is just like, you see all these people like dying of OxyContin and meth overdoses and stuff.
Straight up, my cousin is dead from a fucking OxyContin overdose. And he lived on a mountain outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. True fucking story, small town.
Knoxville, Tennessee. I once got to headline a comedy show there at some old venue that used to be a whorehouse. It's like nice. 3 stories and it had like stairs in the middle, and I don't know. That was a cool place.
That sounds awesome. I love as a student of the world, mm-hmm. I have a conviction that all people are generally the same. Mm. We just want our kids to go to a good place. We want to live a good life. We not want to get murdered going somewhere.
Yeah.
We want to eat good food, have good sex, listen to great music, and then enjoy our friends and family. That's right. Those are the intrinsic things to us.
Right.
You can have fun anywhere with you can, if you're an open-minded person in the sense that you can go to any town in the world, mm-hmm. you can find fun, find something to do.
Right.
You can find a moment. I'm not saying for fucking 6 days, mm-hmm. but for one night, you can have fun somewhere with people. And I think that people get away from that because I'm a ardent thing of, you can share a meal with somebody that you completely disagree with.
Totally.
But you can sit down and be like, yo, where's your favorite place to go? Yeah. And then they're like, oh my God, Margie's got the best chicken fried steak in the world. Or, mm-hmm. This is where we go to get hot dogs or whatever.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think it's the world's best, this person is proud to show you their culture and that their guard is already down because you took the ride with them to go listen to their opinion. Yeah.
You know, I really think that someone with a better heart than the Airbnb people should start another app where, first of all, they took way less of a cut.
Dude.
And then also it was more catered to, because my best Airbnb experiences have been when it is just a couple who doesn't, their kids have moved out or whatever, and you come into their home and, they make breakfast for you and you talk and you get to know them and they tell you about the tent and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to the people who just, have a guy, like a superintendent kind of guy who goes and or they just have cleaning ladies and then they're not there and or there's a little house in the back and you just do like all that kind of stuff. It became gross. Now there's all these neighborhoods where you can't get to know your neighbors because it's all Airbnbs and stuff.
New Orleans.
Yeah. And so, but the kind of Airbnb thing where it's like, it really is people just, trying to make a little bit of money, but are also interested in getting to know you and, how fun would it be? My friend and I once talked about doing a podcast called Airbnb, where he had an Airbnb on his property and it was like, why don't we get to know these? Like, just see, like, hey, do you, if you want to, come have dinner with us and then record this podcast and just get to know strangers and hear your story. Because that would be really cool. Just kind of like how it's like OnlyFans. First of all, you don't even have to do sex stuff on there, but it could be cool. But they take 20%. And it's like, so Airbnb, I remember my friend, it would be like people would pay $200 a night and then he would get 80 of it. And you're like, oh, that's not this is ridiculous.
I was such an Airbnb evangelist mm-hmm. because during COVID, my move as a writer is when I need to get perspective, I will go if you, I don't want to stay in somebody's house. Like my friend Thomas, who runs one in New Orleans, we're old friends, so it's different.
Yeah.
But 99% of the time, I don't want to stay in your house.
Right.
I want my own place to do my own thing. I like to be alone. If I'm working, especially because I'm writing, you know, I'm in my head and I need quiet. I can't listen to you watching The Price is Right.
Yeah.
And so I want my own like little bunkhouse and stuff. And I met so many interesting, cool people. But like during COVID, I would get like $40 a night for to like stay in these like little places all around Texas.
Yeah.
And I go to Galveston all the time and I would find these like great little places in Galveston. But their rates are just getting fucking insane.
Well, and then the COVID, they snuck in these cleaning fees and it was insane because it was like, oh, this place is $40 a night. Oh, your total is $130. What? And then you'd get there and there's 19 different things you have to do before you, oh, I got to do the dishes and take out the trash and do the laundry. Well, what was the cleaning fee for?
Yeah.
So, oh, they're going to wipe down the COVID molecules. No, they're not. And that's not a thing anyway. We knew it didn't live on services by May of 2020. So if you were paying attention. Well, so how? What's your vision to get us? What would socialism look like to you in this country?
To me, I just want our money to go to places that actually fucking matter.
You're just talking about a not corrupt government then.
Well, yeah. But I mean, for me, it's like set up social programs to make sure that people are pushed forward.
So this is kind of like the democratic socialism of the Northern European countries.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, that's where I would put it is just I'm not saying like everybody has like a box that they belong in and you must have job and you must do this like that. I just want everybody's kids to have a chance to like. I remember growing up in Chicago where I knew that the fucking black neighborhoods were fucked. I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew as a child, like, because I grew up in a neighborhood called Canaryville where it's like 100% Irish Catholic. Like, if you're not trades guy, you're a cop, you're a firefighter. Like,
yeah.
If you ain't in that club in 5 minutes, like, I still go back. Mm-hmm. Even though my family's from there, I have a long history in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. There are people who don't know me. But within like a couple of like minutes of me being there, I'll go to the neighborhood bar called The Village. Shout out to The Village. I'll go and kick it for a minute. And somebody within a couple of minutes is going to go, so you new to the neighborhood? I'm like, no. I'm fucking, you know, Bobby, you know, my dad and my uncles. And oh, shit, you're fucking Bobby's kid. Right. You're the writer. You fucking you're the world traveler guy. And I'm like, yeah. And the next thing I know, shots on me.
Yeah.
That's the culture of that place. But like I grew up in like Shameless is based on my neighborhood.
Oh, funny. I've never seen it, but it's on my list.
Yeah. So that's like my neighborhood is shot in that neighborhood. It's based on there and everything. And like my great grandparents are all from Ireland. And that's like where our cultural standpoint is. Like we're Irish. Right. That's it. And I knew as a kid that if you got busted by the cops by how bad you fucked up, even though we're from the neighborhood that you get the pass. Mm-hmm. You had two choices. They're either going to take you out to like a dark alley and beat the ever loving fuck out of you and drop you back off or take you in. So your dad would beat the ever loving fuck out of you with the jail record. So if I knew that as a working class white kid.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you think black and brown people had to deal with?
Jeez, that's so wild. I think like it's funny because it. I don't think that those cops who are like, those are your choices, like, are that thinking like, well, you need to get beat up so that you won't do it again. I think they're going, hey, we get to beat someone up. We love beating someone up. You know, like, hey, if you want to, we can take care of this right here in whatever the county is. But you know what I mean? That's that Fargo line. You know, when he tries to bribe the cop, we can take care of this right here. And what's it, wherever they, Fargo, I guess. Maybe. Yeah. But it's the thing. It's like, they're just like, yay. You want us to beat you up? We'll beat you up.
It's not really, it's just like, I don't think it was that point of view. It's more like you fucked up. Welcome to the School of Hard Knocks. South Side of Chicago is not for fucking.
Right. But I'm just saying, it's not like those men truly are just like, you know what? We hate to do this, but it's our job. We got to teach this guy a lesson.
Sometimes it is though.
No, men love beating people up.
Some men do love beating people up, but it is a cultural thing there. Like,
yeah.
Have you ever been to Chicago?
Yeah, but it's not like I'm seeing the hard scrabble.
So like the thing about Chicago is the one thing is one we identify, you know, you'd be the most fucking white collar dude on earth. You still, your social value is to identify with the blue collar person. Like to like in New York to show flash. Mm-hmm. Is a thing. In Chicago, that's fucking totally like not cool.
Yeah.
Like working class is the highest.
Yeah.
Being a good person, being a fucking stand up, I can count on you guy.
Yeah.
Is your highest social caliber.
Yeah.
So nice. Like to do that is like, you know, what's up, homie? Like, I got you. Yeah. Like, to know that you're not a piece of shit.
Yeah.
That goes further than everything. But also, you can't be a pussy.
Yeah.
You can't be a pussy. Like, if you bitch out on some shit.
Yeah.
That goes against that social code.
Yeah.
So for like to be like, look, bro, I got to do this to make you a man.
Yeah. Okay.
I got to punch you in the face to let you know that you fucked up. They enjoy it
too.
Oh, they enjoy it for sure.
There's nothing like a good excuse to hit someone and feel righteous about
but
it.
But it's a look you in the eye. Right. I have to let you know that you're not allowed to do this.
Yeah. Which I appreciate. And I honestly, like, I do think there are circumstances where some men probably do need to be beat the shit out of by other men. And I wish they would do it more in cases of sexual violence, especially. Oh, shit. I think that's something where if we find out that a man is a predator, has sexually assaulted someone, is getting women drunk, and then
them. Like, why are we soft about this?
Yeah, I think that if men don't want women to be so afraid of you and think of you all as like potentially bad guys, you know, hashtag not all men. It's like there's a high enough percentage of you who are on the scale of predator to we can't feel that way. But if you guys would beat the shit out of the men who are hurting women, like, I think that might actually help.
Well, I completely agree with you, but like, I think that there's also, so I was talking with somebody, who was it, Christoph Paul, who runs Clash Press, him and his wife Lisa, we were talking about books and stuff, and like, my book, one of the reviews that constantly come back is like, my writing style is very masculine. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm a fucking, in the Venn diagram of creatives, I lean bro. Get it, I love football and all that shit, I drink fucking beer and stuff, like, I'm totally the artistic bro, and I'm okay with that.
That's how I feel too.
You know, good. That's the way we should be. You know, but he was like, I have a belief that, like, or what did he say? He goes, I think that as a publisher, what I'm seeing is that masculinity is going to come back because we've swung so hard away mm-hmm. from it that, like, oh, it's not great, and all this other shit. Like, he's like, I think masculinity is going to come back in a big way.
Because there are positive aspects to masculinity, it's not all toxic. And in fact, we need good masculinity to fight the toxic masculinity.
Yeah, like,
I believe in chivalry. I believe we need to, you know, we all needed to explore these things and figure out what's the baby, what's the bathwater. Should men open doors for us?
Yes.
Exactly. The issue is, there is a way in which sometimes when men carry everything for women, you literally are getting stronger every time you do that. And we are not taking the opportunity to get stronger. So there are ways in which I'm like, okay, women can be, or you got to let the little boy lesbian ones also carry some stuff. Sure. There's things like that to get, but like, opening the door, I think, is a sweet thing. Now it gets to the point where, like, do we pull the chair? Cause it can be a little ownershipy. We do need to think about these things.
That shit doesn't cross our mind at all. So like, right. I have a mother and my mom and dad have been together forever. Mm-hmm. My mother, my grandmother, and my other grandmother, mm-hmm. this was three women, my aunt, who's like my other mother, and my mom. My mom is my favorite person in the whole world.
Yeah.
All of those women. So I was brought up with like very strong women who like were the fucking best.
Yeah.
My mom and my aunt are fucking the best. The woman I'm involved with now, that I think she's my girlfriend, I don't know, we have like a whole thing. She's very feminist.
I don't understand men and women.
Yeah. It's just, we had a friendship and it evolved in a way that we never expected, and we're kind of seeing what's happening.
So you're fucking, but oh, so neither of you are sure. So you're dating right now?
No. We were friends for a really long time. She went through a lot of like really deep personal shit, like her dad died and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I almost killed in a car accident in May. Okay. And that like pushed us very, very close together. And now mm-hmm. we're just kind of negotiating like, what does a completely new us look like?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're dating. Like, we just kind of like are very soft touch on, because we love each other. We'll both tell you we love each other.
Right.
But she's like hardcore feminist. Mm-hmm. But she also loves the fact that like, she came over to the house and I carried her laundry, you know, like, well, I opened doors for her, but like, it's not,
you don't really know what feminist means. Like, it seems like every feminist means something different by it. So it's like, when you say hardcore, I'm like, hardcore, what kind of feminist?
No, she's just very, you know, upfront about like different, like how, like a lot of the, she was a bikini kill feminist, I should say, like very Kathleen Hanna.
I don't even know what's bikini
like,
kill.
Bikini kill is like the preeminent. You ever heard of the Riot Girls?
Yeah.
Like, she started all that shit.
Okay.
And so that's like very like influenced by like you know, women have their place and, you know, we don't need to be controlled by men and all that other shit, which is great. I'm all for that. But like I said, it's just in my mind, my mother will literally stand at a door and make you like open the door for me and open the like to do all this for me, which is I was just raised in a way like my mom and my aunt are the fucking best.
Yeah.
I deeply respect them. And I've always been a partner that like my mom has always was raised us to like treat women with respect. Never talk over to somebody. Make sure that like this if I'm getting up, do you need me to get you? I'm going to fill my iced tea. Can I get yours
too? And
some
of that is just common decency, courtesy as well. But if you do have larger hands, it's easier for you to bring three or four drinks back. But no,
I got big ass fucking hands.
You know? So no, I think that is one of the missteps of certain kinds of, you know, feminist explorations is that there isn't like men should do chivalrous things for women. You are physically stronger. And so like it makes sense for us to like utilize that. We aren't as strong or fast as y'all in all these kinds of ways because our bodies have evolved to, you know, be able to create and produce life. And we go through, there's so much that costs to be able to potentially make a baby. Even if you never do, we're still carrying the burden for, you know, 99% of the baby making process. And so men should show some fucking chivalry for that. Like you're supposed to respect women and say, and help us. You should help us move our furniture.
But like none of this crosses through my head whatsoever. Like now, like we're friends now. Like this is it. Every time I see you, I will always offer you a hug. Like, what's up, Ariel? Oh my God. Yeah. Fuck yeah. And then like, if you're like, hey, can you help me out with something? I got you. You're my right. girl. I got you. Like, it's just, I treat all of like the women in my life with the modicum of respect that I would just the same as a dude. But always, if you're my partner, I will go out of my way to make sure that you feel the best fucking possible. Like if I got dough, if you want to get your nails done, I got you. If you, you know, if you're in your place that you make enough money and you're fucking, you got it, it's Gucci, fuck yeah, by all means. Right. But if you're, you know, money's a little tight, whatever. And if I'm making the money, fuck yeah, you got it. But I've also had that exact same person when I'm broke be like, I got dinner for us tonight. It's good. It's
right. Usually, generally a partnership kind of functions that way anyway. And, you know, we have a more,
not with the straights.
We have a more, sometimes we have a more egalitarian society in many ways than we did in very recent and much of history. But still women are at a disadvantage when it comes to making money, not just because of some amount of discrimination, which does exist in certain ways, you know, old boys club kind of things particularly, but also because of our patterns of when we might need to take off for child care and whatnot.
Which I think is wildly fucked up.
Yeah, but I mean, we could improve that system and situation for women, but also because women are literally physically weaker. There are certain things where it's like men are able to be more productive and money making in an easier way. So it's like that comes with an amount of chivalry, and it shouldn't be, men shouldn't be like lording that over women. Like, oh, I have the money, so you all got to do whatever. It's like, you should be generous. Like you say, like, of course I got you if you want your nails, because like, that's what men owe women. Like men should, I think, have a feeling of debt to women because we have to fucking bleed every month and be in pain for a week of every month. We have to, if we actually have your baby, Jesus Christ, you jerk off into us. And then we have to go through all of that. And then the labor and, you know, the baby is dependent on us and it changes our bodies forever. And just like, and we lose iron every month, all this kind of stuff. It's like, that's what chivalry to me should be, this understanding of like all the sacrifices that women inherently go through. Like men owe us a great deal of respect and love and consideration and compassion and saying like, look, the odds are stacked in my favor, you know, in terms of ability to just like be confident, be strong, be happy consistently. Like, you know, we have to go through all these crazy cycles. Like men have things really nicely, not just because of sexism, but because of nature, you know?
I don't think I owe you anything. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is a nature versus nurture situation where I don't think I owe you anything. I don't think I owe anybody anything.
Owe is the right word, sure. But
to me, I had a great father who loves his wife. I have a great mother who loved me. I have two great parents who love me. So I saw two people in love who still love each other that are a unit. And I saw how he treated her because she is the rock of our family. He will bring her flowers. He'll do that. And I saw how much she loved it. So that trickled down to me. That's just how I treat women. So to me, it's not an I owe you. It's I want my person to feel like there is no doubt in the world that I am 100% your person, but I love seeing someone I love mm-hmm. feel vindicated and feel good. Like, I remember, you can tell me the most minute shit. You're like, oh, one time in eighth grade, I had this poster that I absolutely loved, and you know, it was a fucking Snow Informer, and it was my favorite song, and blah blah blah. And I'll be like, I'll log that shit in my head, and then if I see, for Christmas, I'll find you that Snow poster, mm-hmm. and I just want to see that joy on your face.
Yeah, that's just like, because humans love each other, and so that's what I mean. I don't mean oh in the sense of like, you know, technically, or like, I just mean like, if you were to see a child or a woman or a weak man, and there's something had fallen on him that you would be able to lift off of yourself, you're going to go and run, because as a human. You know what I mean? I could say you owe, but it's like, that's just what you would do.
Yeah,
you go help someone. To speak to socialism, like, where much is given, much is expected, like whatever you have, like that's what you can contribute. So when we lived in smaller communities, you know, 200 people or fewer usually, then we all knew each other. We all knew each other's needs, and we all knew. And if there was a kid, you know, who had some kind of disability in one way or another, like everyone was like, if in the cultures where they didn't throw them off the cliff, then, you know, everyone just understood, okay, well then we take care of that guy. Oh, we take care of old people. We take care of babies. We take care of people who, like, and I have these strengths, you have these strengths, and we all work together. We all help each other out according to the what we have to help. And so because society has gotten so large, and so we don't really all know each other, and it's like everybody's everybody else's problem. You know, a lot of us no longer have church communities or anywhere where we kind of really all do know each other. Like, it's all kind of metaphorically, there are pianos on top of people that we need you to come over and help us. But you know, how do you get involved in whose life? And so I think we've all gotten to the point where just like we can no longer, you know, spank a neighbor's kid if they run out into the street, or, you know, or if that kid hits another kid. You can't, you know, it used to be that, you know, the guy down the street would just kind of pop you on the head and go, hey, Mikey, you can't, you know, you can't hit a girl or whatever. But we can't do that anymore. And we also just kind of stay out of each other's business a lot. I mean, look at the guy who stomped the former Michael Jackson impersonator.
So fucked up.
Let's all just get to know each other. And I think that's the first step. I don't know what the second or third or fourth step is. I know what the ninth step is, but I, you know.
Hell.
No, it's when the lesbians take over. Okay, but you'll all be happy.
Death by snoo snoo.
You'll all be happy when the lesbians are running things. We are good people, some of us. Anyway, but... well, thank you. That was fun.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks, man. Oh, do you want to plug anything?
Your books? Yeah, if you found all this interesting, please buy my new book. It's called Existential Thirst Trap. You can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can go order it from your local library, which counts as a sale for me. Or go up to be better, go to your local bookstore, wherever you're at. If you're here in Austin, go to Black Pearl, go to Book People, go to any local place, but you can get it anywhere.
I've read some of it. It's good. I like it.
And, you know, that's how I make my living. So, but if you are a social media person, as much as I fucking hate it, you can find me on Facebook and
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn and Instagram. I'm not on anything else. I'm 42. I'm not getting on TikTok.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. You can't.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Or you have to ironically make fun of yourself.
I just don't want it. Like, people are like, you need to promote the book. Do it that way. And I'm like, dude, I'm 42. Punk rocker, dude. I don't want to do that. Like, it's just, what am I going to do? Get in there? Like, there's no value I can add other than talking shit.
You don't understand. The value is very, you just need to take your face and do like a weird filter to it and then just say goofy things and then you'll become famous.
I don't want
to. Just got to post every day.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't either. But I probably will one day.
So, at literally Robert Dean, it's my Venmo too.
Oh yeah, my Venmo's Gay Ariel. If anyone wants in on that, GayArielle.
Just literally Robert Dean.
I accept sugar daddies, sugar mommies, sugar parents.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Sugar children. If you identify, if you're younger than me.
Yeah, I mean,
how come people don't have sugar kids?
Ugh, that's kind of weird.
No, I don't. Sugar babies. I'm not gonna fuck you. I'm not gonna fuck the men or the women or the parents.
Just give us money.
I just want the money.
Just give us money. And please buy Existential Thirst Trap. When's this coming out?
Next Monday.
Was that past the 30th?
No.
Okay, then I can't announce my new book yet. I was told by the publisher, unless it comes out after the 30th. But I have a new book coming out. I just can't tell you about it.
Okay, well, that's very exciting.
So just pay attention to
social
media.
Follow him on Facebook.
Facebook, but more or less Instagram. That's the one that I post on.
Word.
That's it.
Thanks, Robert.